One of the main ideas of parenting brought in the Torah is Chanuch Lenar Al Pi Darko, to parent each child according to their potential. This is such a beautiful idea, as each child is really so different. But how do we really do that? How do we truly discover the inner potential of each child to really parent them to their fullest? Slavi Young Reiswolf, who is a true leader of our door, with all of her amazing work in Hineni, her two incredible parenting books, and growing up in the home of the famous Rebbetzin Esther Young Reis, helps us to parent the Jews next door with incredible insights as to how to know how to really tap into each child's uniqueness and really bring it out. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. Raising children in general is not easy. Throw in the desire to have passion and committed Jews, now that's next level hard. My name is Rabbi Irman Shell. As an educator, parent educator, and a parent of young children, I'm on the journey just like you to learn how we can best parent our children to take care of the whole child and each child and to help guide them in their journey of their relationship with Hashem. With weekly episodes answering your biggest parenting questions, you will gain the best practices you need to raise your children the way you want, to raise the Jews next door. Thank you so much for the time. It's really a pleasure.
We finally made it.
Yes. Okay. So it's really a pleasure to speak to really one of the real leaders of our door about raising the Jews next door.
We
are speaking tonight about potential, about, you know, how to give to bringing out the potential in of our children. So I guess before we even say anything, let's just start with, what's your definition of potential?
Every single child has potential, and when you have this child in front of you, they come into our arms and into our lives, but there's so much waiting to be discovered, so much magic. Mm. And that gets lost as the years go.
Okay.
You know, it's so easy to love a baby and to encourage a baby then to crawl and to walk and to say hooray. As children get older, we get a little bit stuck. When children don't have that potential brought out within them, through us, through encouraging, through being solution-oriented and not problem-oriented.
Right.
Then they get stuck. And think about how much is lost, potential lost within a child. So every child is a blessing. Every child has a blessing to give to this world. And part of parenting is to help a child figure that out and never give up on a child.
Mm-hmm. So how does a parent do that? Meaning, how does a parent help a child figure that out?
So you have to know your child. That's number one.
Right.
And you can have five children, but you have to know that every child has a different potential.
Right. Chanuch Lenar Al Pi Darko. Each one has their own derech.
Yes. And what's good for one child is not good for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love something, let's say music, it doesn't mean that your child will love music or be great at music.
Right.
You have to figure out, what is my child good at naturally? And the next step is, and this is where it becomes the spiritual part of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
How can I use that to make this world into a better place?
Interesting.
So every child has a gift. Now I have to help myself and my child figure out what that gift is.
Right.
Because usually as children get older, our eye goes on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's driving us crazy.
Yeah.
And we forget about the positive, or we use the positive to glorify the child.
Mm.
Sports, math, whatever it is.
You're saying in a bad way that we use
because we're missing the final step. And the final step before we let this child just grow his or her wings and just go out into the world is to teach a child that you have responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's great about you doesn't come from you.
Right.
Hashem gave you a gift. Now, how are you going to take this gift and make this world better because you are here?
Mm-hmm.
A child who's a giver becomes a child who's happy with himself and herself. A child who's a taker, or you're stuck at that step of, wow, you're amazing, you're awesome, look how you do this and that. You're raising a child who's entitled and who's selfish.
Interesting. Wow, there's a lot to unpack.
And unhappy.
There's so much to unpack. So I guess let's start with number one. What age does this start at? Meaning that a parent can start already.
Oh, you could start at a toddler. You could start with a toddler.
And that a parent can already start to figure out what's unique
Or you teach a child that what you do is not just for you.
So how does a parent teach
that? That's number one. I'll give you a few little examples. You know, let's say you have a toddler over and you're coloring a picture with the toddler. I just had my granddaughter over this week, two years old. We sit down and she's coloring. And instead of just leaving it at the picture, then we can say, you know what? We're going to put this up for Shabbos. This is going to be a Shabbos picture. Mm. Or we're going to give it to Bubby and Zadie. We're going to do something good with that. And as children grow, if you have a creative child, use that creativity for your Shabbos table.
Mm.
Why should everything just be on the parents? When you're in a family, that's a privilege. And when you invest in something, you love it more.
Mm.
So when Shabbos comes and children just sit at the Shabbos table and they're not invested in it. Yeah, they're just taking. They're just takers. As my children were growing up, I would involve them. You know, Thursday night, I'd put on the music and you can pick a recipe that you want. And it doesn't matter, girl, boy, everybody can put something together. It's fun.
Right.
And you have family time together, which is also so important.
Yeah.
That's missing today. Connection. So Shabbos is an amazing experience where children can be involved all week. You know, they can choose something that they want to do easy.
Right. And the more that you involve them in it, the more they're going to be excited towards it.
Right. Because you see, when you're invested in something, you care about it and you love it. Think about it. When you bring a newborn home from the hospital, why do you love that baby? Of course it's yours, but this baby is just crying. Has a dirty diaper, doesn't say thank you, doesn't even smile.
Right.
You're up the whole night. But the more that you're giving to this baby, the more that you're loving this baby.
Right, right.
Our children need to be invested in their families. And we make a mistake thinking that they will be so happy if we just keep giving to them. So when it comes to our children, even if you have a son or daughter who's great at sports, this isn't a gift that you have just that you should be a great sports player.
Right.
But now, what I always ask parents to do is to teach their child to be a Moshe. What did Moshe do? Moshe's in the palace and he had a choice. He could either live in the bubble or he can go out and see the suffering of Am Yisrael, feel for them. And that's where we learn that the Pasuk says, the Torah says, Moshe became Gadol. He became great. First, was great in age and he was growing in years. But the moment he stepped out of that bubble, out of that palace and felt the pain of his people.
Right.
And you could say, what's the big deal just to feel? Yeah, it's a big deal to feel. Then the Torah describes him again, Vayigdal, that he grew because he grew as a human being.
Right.
If you as a parent want your child to grow as a human being and he's great, as we said in sports, then tell your child the next time that you're captain of the team or you're on that team, there's another child, there's another kid sitting there that nobody picks, nobody talks to, and he's feeling like a zero. You can make that kid feel as if he's wanted, as if he's part of the team. You can be inclusive to him. You can choose him. You can pick him. If you're in a bus and you're popular and you're going up to camp and everyone's sitting and having a great time, there's a girl in the back of the bus. Nobody's talking to her. Nobody saved a bed to be next to her. And you can just say, come sit with us. You know what you just did? You gave somebody life.
So how does a parent help a child value that in a real way? Meaning, like you were saying before, children by nature, they come and they're takers.
Right.
How does a parent help them to genuinely want to be a giver?
You know, we come into this world and our fists are closed.
Right.
And it's a parent's job to open each finger one by one. So I remember being a young mother and bringing my children to my own mother's house. So the first thing my mother would do, she would bend down to my toddlers and give them a pretzel stick. And be all mushy, you know. And then she would say, and can you give Bubba now? Did she need that mushy pretzel from them to taste? No. But she wanted to teach them to give.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment that you have a snack, you can teach a child to open your hands and give.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we do as parents. You're amazing. You're the best. You're unbelievable. The whole focus is on you, you, you being this amazing, unbelievable, everything that you do. When do we praise the effort or the moment that a child is able to give to another?
Right.
What do you look at on a report card? What do you look at when a child does something? What does a child know that you value?
Right.
And there were studies that came out where kids were asked, would they rather that you be happy or do well in school? And they all said, do well in school.
Yeah, that.
Okay. Or would they rather that you be a giving person or do well in school?
Right.
Do well in school. There has to be something because beyond that's the marks.
The language that the parents.
Yes. What is success in your eyes as a parent?
Right.
And how do you teach your child the meaning of success?
Right. So we have to, parents have to do a better job of making sure that that's clear, really clear to their children. What's really their priorities?
What and how do you create that feeling of this is important to me? You show passion. You show love. Sometimes that's a very delicate question for us to ask ourselves as parents.
Right.
I'm not coming with criticism here.
Yeah.
But I'm asking parents to take a real honest look at ourselves.
Parenting because is the best muster saver.
Absolutely.
Ever. Because it makes you really, you got to be true and you honest have with to, yourself.
If you're true, I cannot parent a child who's grateful if I'm not grateful myself.
Right.
If I'm always complaining, then my child will not be a grateful child.
Right.
I cannot parent a child who will be happy if I'm miserable.
Right.
And I cannot parent a child who will be helpful and caring if I close my heart to the need of others.
Right.
When it comes to spirituality, I cannot raise a child who's spiritual, who's passionate about Yiddishkeit and Judaism and Shabbos and Yom Tovim. If when a yontif comes or I have guests coming over, what's my attitude? Mm-hmm. How do I pick up the phone?
Right.
How do I talk? Even to my own parents. How do you pick up the phone?
Totally. And it's like the famous story that people used to say that when people were first coming over from Europe and they would say the Yiddish phrase that I'm not so great at, but like
Schwerzi seine Yid,
right? It's not geschmack. It's not awesome to be a Yid right now. So if their children are hearing that, you know, and in our generation, if children are seeing that that's how we feel, and like you're saying, that's really what they're gonna.
And what's your Shabbos table about? Shabbos, I keep coming back to Shabbos because Hashem in his ultimate wisdom gave us this way of connecting in a world of disconnect.
Right.
Hashem knew that we needed this. You know, we know this more than the Jewish people have kept Shabbos alive. Shabbos has kept the Jewish people alive.
Yeah, very true.
So when you have family coming together, you're at the Shabbos table. Now, what do you talk about at the Shabbos table? How do you treat each other at the Shabbos table? The Shabbos table is not a place for you to save up all your discipline and then save it for Shabbos.
Right, and give it there.
And send kids to the room or, oh, that's what you study. That's what your school teaches you. This is what you know. This is how you sit with your sister. Why don't you help more? Shabbos is a time for love and to reconnect.
Yeah. No, when I ask my students, what's your favorite mitzvah out of anything? Every time, Shabbos.
That's beautiful.
And it's amazing. For a high school student, boy or girl, to be able to say that, it's a very strong statement. Because they know deep down, really, that's where it's at. Even though it's hard for them to do it, or it's not always something that they even do, or they want to do.
So here's something else. When I will ask my students, or I'll give a talk on happiness, no matter which country I'm in, which continent, and I will say, what is your happiest memory? Do you know what's amazing? Children, adults, across the board, the memories are always about being with grandparents, parents, cousins, friends, summer camp. It's never about a thing.
Right.
It's never the day I got that fill in the blank.
Yeah.
We think as parents that if we just keep giving our children things, they'll be happy. Mm-hmm. But that's not the key. The key is connection.
Right.
And we're missing connection today.
Right. Very true. Very, very true. So, you know, getting back to what we were talking about in terms of, you mentioned before, really knowing what each child's purpose is, right? So, you mentioned that the way that a parent can figure that out is by knowing their child.
Yeah.
So, what age would that start?
To get to know your child, yep. To know your child's loves.
Right, but is that like, at what point is a child old enough to really have genuine loves about things that are not just like, I guess, like, you know, more immature or more kiddie, that in a way where you could really start saying, right, like, oh, this is something that they really, you know, they really love this. They really excel at this. Maybe they really have a, you know, potential with this. Mm-hmm. At what age does that start?
I mean, you know, it starts from the youngest child where, you know, this child is a people's person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or this child has a great creative way. This child is great. You can see when a child has a love to do something, because that child's happy when they're doing it. And when you see that a child naturally goes down a path to do something that they enjoy being with people, they enjoy riding their bike, they enjoy cooking, they enjoy baking with you, whatever
right.
it is,
mm-hmm.
they enjoy art. So now you have to ask yourself, what do we do with that to make this world into a better place?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the constant question we have to ask when we're looking at anything they do is, well, how can this then be contributed to the world? And then, because then you're giving them that message that, you know,
exactly.
you're meant for just greater than just.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't mean that every day you need to make this discovery about your child.
Right.
But every day you do need to make a connection with your child.
Mm-hmm.
And as you connect more, you get to know your child more. You get to figure out, what can I do to help this child feel chios,
right,
which means life. And you'd be surprised at what children are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. There's a family that I teach, and the little girl, she doesn't go to yeshiva, 8 years old. We had a Hanukkah party. And my daughter gave a talk about Yehudis and Hanukkah.
Mm.
At the end of the talk, this little girl came over to me along with her mother and said, I want to be a Yehudis. I want to do something for the Jewish people.
Wow. Beautiful.
So how do you make that into something practical?
Right.
I'll tell you what this little girl did. She loves making slime.
Mm.
Now, how do you make that into something spiritual? She made slime day and night. And then she took the slime and she sold it and she made $1,000. Instead of keeping the money for herself, she made the most beautiful challah covers for Hineni, for our organization.
Wow.
I had a Thursday night, like mock challah under the stars, mock Shabbos, and every family that came got a challah cover.
Wow.
On the back, she had inscribed, in memory of my dear Rebbetzin Esther Youngrice.
Wow.
May the light of Shabbos always shine.
Wow.
That little girl.
That's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
Huh.
From slime.
Huh.
Kids can do so much.
Wow. Yeah.
We have to allow them to soar, but we don't help them soar by making everything easy and doing everything for them.
Uh-huh. What do you mean by that? Meaning you're saying we have to allow them to struggle a little bit.
This mother could have said, I'll give you the money.
Right.
Okay. And what do you want to order?
Right, right, right.
And instead it became her investment.
Mm-hmm.
So she felt so proud
mm-hmm.
when she sees what she's capable of.
Wow. That's powerful. That's very powerful. So would you say the most fundamental thing towards bringing out a child's potential is, number one, seeing what their greatest, you know, strengths are, and then seeing how it could be contributed.
Sure. Even if your child is great in school, right? That mm-hmm. child can help somebody who's struggling.
Right.
If your child is great at babysitting and watching kids, there's always somebody who needs help. There's so much that children can do.
And you're saying that's different than teaching them the importance of chesed, because that's also seems like it teaches them the importance of being able to give to others, but how does that also help bring out their potential?
Chesed is, of course, very important. When you make chesed personal, then you live a life of chesed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, what did Avram Avinu hear from Hashem about his mission? This book just came out in the last week, my mother's final book.
Oh, really?
And it's, yes. And oh, wow. She wrote it when she was faced with her terminal illness.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Be a Blessing. And she, my mother writes in it that most people would think that you ask for a blessing. You ask for a bracha. Hashem, give me a bracha. But here, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, your mission in this world is to be a blessing.
Right.
And our mission as parents is to teach children to be a blessing. Sure, through chesed, but make the chesed practical. It's not just about, you know, our kids are great at marathons and bake-a-thons. They have bike-a-thons. They have all these wonderful things and they're having fun and production and they're raising money. It's fabulous. But how do I make it part of their DNA in their everyday life?
Right. You're saying not just like a one isolated event. You know,
right.
they hosted a beautiful bake-a-thon. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
But let's make it really a part of them.
Yeah, part of their
so
DNA.
How do you make that a part of their DNA? How do you transfer it from that one event to...
So something as simple as calling a Bubby and Zadie before Shabbos. Okay? Every child's capable of that. Say good Shabbos, Bubby. Good Shabbos, Zadie. Good Shabbos, Grandma. Good Shabbos, Grandpa. And to say to a child, your call is giving Bubby and Zadie, Grandma and Grandpa, so much love and sunshine.
Right.
Think of another. A young child can do that. Because we have to realize our children are growing up in a selfie generation. And when you take a picture, but it's always of yourself, and then you look at it and you just want to make it bigger, and your lens is constantly on yourself, selfies create selfish. And our children are growing very selfish.
Right.
The lens is on themselves.
Yeah, it's very true.
How do you expand a heart? And you think that you're giving, the truth is your child is getting.
Right.
Ezehu ashir hasameach bechelko.
Right.
And that means who is wealthy? You're happy with your chelik, with your part. I want to give you a little twist. I was once taking a walk with my mother because my wisdom comes from generations. And I asked my mother, it was a Shabbos afternoon, my mother was giving a talk and we were walking together to her shir. And I said, one of my children, they were being bullied. And I said to my mother, I don't really understand. They're on a bus, not bothering anyone. All these kids have whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, they're great kids. Why would one choose to bully my child?
Yeah, yeah.
My mother said, Ezehu ashir hasameach bechelko. Ashir is not only that you are wealthy financially, but you're wealthy in your idea of who you are. You feel rich in your existence. Sameach bechelko, you have to be happy with your chelek, meaning you have to have a chelek in this world. You have to have a portion. You have to have something that gives you that chias, that sense of life and importance. I am important in this world, not because I keep getting and needing, but because I give. And if a child is bullying, it's because they have no chelek.
Interesting.
And so their chelek becomes bullied.
They feel like they don't have what to give. They don't
exactly
feel like that.
So how do they make themselves feel important? Where do you get self-esteem and self-confidence from?
Push yourself over others.
Yeah, you can either push another person down or you can raise yourself up. Now, what are you going to do? As a parent, my job is to teach my child how to have a chelek in this world.
Right.
Why are you needed in this world? What's your chias? What's your mission? What's your purpose? There's so much for us to do. There's so much need. There's so much need. I mean, you can collect coins around the house. And one of my grandchildren, he was over the other day and we collected little loose change and ended up a nice amount for tzedakah. And he felt so good about that. So you become a giver.
Right.
From pennies.
So you're saying that the main idea of bringing out a child's potential is to show them that they can give towards the world.
Be a giver.
As opposed to being a taker.
Be a blessing.
Right.
Nobody feels good being a taker.
Wow. Wow. Very strong idea. And that's the idea. Meaning, according to this understanding, the idea of Chanoch Lenar Al Pidarko is finding their way to be a giver to the world.
Exactly. Of course, it applies to discipline. It applies to relating to every child.
Sure.
And Yaakov Avinu taught us this. It's in this week's Parsha. Before he left this world, and he wanted to give a bracha to every child, Yaakov Avinu did not give a collective bracha.
Mm-hmm.
Every single child had a different bracha.
Right, right.
And you had a Yisachar and you had a Zevulun. And Yaakov Avinu did not say, you are more important than your brother mm-hmm. with what you do.
Right.
Each one of you, you have your own unique mission in this world. Now go out and make this world into a better place because of the gift that Hashem gave you.
Right.
And Yaakov Avinu was able to zero in and identify that gift.
Right.
That was his parting tzva. We look at a tzva as a will, as, you know, financial. There's a spiritual, ethical will to leave a child.
Hmm.
And that's what parenting is.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Would you say that this process of bringing out a child's potential changes with ages or gender, or it's the same, meaning at each and every single age and stage, it's the same idea of making sure to show them how they can take what they, their kohos and bring it and offer it to the world.
Listen, we want our children to grow.
Right.
So if they're the same at 3 as they are at 13, you know, if you're still singing, I always say this when we speak about Yamim Tovim, dip the apple in the honey.
Right.
That's great for a 3 and a 5-year-old, but if you're 8 and 10 and you haven't progressed,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem.
Right.
So Rav Hirsch teaches us that the word Sameach is related to the word Sameach because Sin and Tzadi can be interchanged.
Right.
And where do you find joy in life if you grow?
Mm-hmm.
So a child should always be growing.
Right. So therefore, what does that look like practically for the mission should grow.
Uh-huh. Nothing should be stale.
Got it.
Nothing should be old. Same old, same old. So how do you expand? As a child grows, they want more responsibility,
mm-hmm.
right? They want more, I can go to sleep later, right? I can cross the street now. Okay, I can drive now. That's great. How do you use your car for chesed?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to create chesed in this world? When my mother became ill, she broke her hip. She had to use a walker and she hated that walker. I mean, my mother was so elegant and beautiful. I mean, for her to use a walker. I have a daughter who's very creative. And you know what she did one night on her own? Because she saw how my mother so disliked this walker.
Mm-hmm.
She was in 12th grade then. She drove to Michael's with a friend. She got all types of sequins and flowers and ribbons.
Uh-huh.
She surprised my mother, went to her house, spent a few hours just decorating this walker. Wow. It was so beautiful that when my mother used it afterwards, she got on a plane. She was using this walker. Everyone asked her where she bought it.
Oh, no way.
And we called it Bubby's Bling.
That's amazing.
So you can grow in your years and grow in your idea and your vision of this world and what you can do.
Sure. Does this change when a parent is trying to bring out their child's or help their child reach their potential within their Avodas Hashem? Meaning, what we're talking about here is using their kohos to be able to give to the world. But how does one bring out their potential, help their child bring out their potential within their Avodas Hashem?
You see, we make a little bit of a mistake
mm-hmm.
and we make a compartment in our life. This is your spiritual life. This is your Yiddishkeit. This is your sports. This is your school. These are your grades. When I'm a Jew, it's all connected.
Right, right.
So if it's all connected, then everything becomes spiritual. You mm-hmm. take a cup of water, you lift it up, you make a bracha, it's spiritual.
Right.
Everything I do can have a spiritual side to it.
Totally, totally. Yeah.
I can make a delicious cake for myself, or I can make it for myself for Shabbos. Or I can make it for a neighbor that I know is struggling, or I want to extend friendship. Everything can be uplifted in this world.
Totally, totally. It's true. And how does it, I feel like in a way, a child could feel sometimes a little bit, maybe overbear, like smothered maybe is a better word. Feel like a little smothered mm-hmm. other parents who are trying to always bring out their potential?
Or great question.
How does a parent balance that? And
first of all, the best is example.
What do you mean by that?
If I want my child to do something, I need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't keep suggesting it to that child.
Right.
You know, it's the same as if you don't want your child to eat junk food or you want your child to work out. So then you can't eat the junk food, right?
Right, right,
and you have to do a little bit of a workout, right?
Sure, sure.
So when we keep prodding children and pushing them and they don't see the example in us,
mm-hmm.
the example is the greatest classroom of life.
Mm. Wow. A great quote.
When I do that, then my child sees, and maybe that day they won't do what I am doing, but it's going like water on a stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in Shema, what do we say? Aleph Avecha.
Right, right.
So it has to be on the heart. And eventually it seeps into right. the heart. Mm.
I guess the only question is how does it not then become like, in a way, like helicopter parenting? Because, right. meaning, because even if you're, let's say you're leading by example, right? But you're still like very involved.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, like right. either that hovering or even okay. like snowplow where you're trying to right. like.
So you have to be very careful not to nag.
Okay.
Children.
Right.
And there is a way to communicate with children skillfully.
What does that look like?
It looks like if, first of all, if I have to say something 10 times and I'm not getting anywhere,
mm-hmm.
that means something's off with my communication.
Sure.
And sure. I have to figure out what it is.
Right.
Where's the disconnect? Because children want to connect with us.
Mm-hmm.
Children want to spend time with us. Children want to please their parents. That's natural. Everybody grows towards something that's positive, just like a plant. Sometimes you'll see a plant and it twists and turns. Why? Because you know it's twisting towards the sunlight. That's how Hashem created the world. A neshama is the same way. A neshama is going to twist and turn to find warmth. And
also because the idea that a neshama wants to return back to its...
to its source.
To its source, right?
Yeah. But an apparent represents Hashem in this world.
Sure.
But where will you want to go? You're going to want to go where you feel loved
mm-hmm.
and accepted. So if you're constantly criticizing a child or doing for a child and making a child feel so big,
right.
then that's not good communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. And you're not helping that child. I have met parents and children where parents have thought that they have done their children the greatest favors by doing for them everything, doing their reports, calling the principal, calling the coach, you know, making everything happen, staying up all night, writing their papers. And at the end, these children are disabled.
Yeah, they don't have anything. They don't have any ability to do anything for themselves.
They fall apart so easily.
Yeah.
They cannot sit in a classroom. They constantly have to have things,
mm-hmm.
you know, squishy bowls and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they cannot sit and they can't do work.
Right.
If they get a little bit of criticism,
they
completely
crumble.
Yeah. Crumble. That's the word.
Yeah.
Crumble. And why is that? Because everything's been done for them.
Yeah. They've never learned how to do anything for themselves.
From the time that they say, I'm so bored, I'm so hungry, that's such a great opportunity. Instead of saying, oh, you're bored, let's see, what can you do? You're hungry, what can I make for you? I'm going to make something. No, you're bored, what can you do so that you're not bored?
Right.
You know, it's okay to be bored sometimes. Fill the space. You're hungry. Okay, Bubala. Okay, sweetie, so what do you think? But we run in, oh, I'll make you a pizza. I'll make you noodles. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you.
Right.
Hmm. And when Sarah Imenu actually weaned Yitzchak, the Pasuk says, Vayigmal. And the word Vayigmal means to wean, but it also means to give, like Gemilat Chesed.
Mm-hmm.
And how could it mean the same thing? I'm giving and I'm weaning.
Right.
Because it is the same thing.
Is-
the biggest chesed that you can give is to give a child independence.
Wow, I love that. That's beautiful.
So children need skills, resilience, grit, They know that they don't fall apart when things just don't happen the way that they thought it would happen.
How does a parent change when that's like a parent's, you know, normal, like their instinct is to just say, oh yeah, I'll make you something. No problem. Or, you know, fine, let's play something right now. You're bored. How does a parent patch themselves when that's so part of the way that parents, I feel like most parents, not all, but I'm trying to be down the cusp. Not all parents respond
that
way.
We all do it.
But a lot of parents do it.
We do that.
Or maybe everyone does. Probably everyone does.
Yeah, because you don't want to hear kvetching.
Right, right.
Right.
So then how does a parent change that language and that instinctual reaction that they have?
I've spoken recently to a parent who I'm in touch with who realized that this is something that she would like to do, to change this lingo in her home, mm-hmm. where she realized that every time her children came with something, she would right away fix it.
Right.
And as they're getting older, it's not good mm-hmm. because they can't handle anything themselves.
Yeah.
So the first thing is ratzon. You need to have desire to make a change.
Right, right.
And the second thing is to have a goal. What's my goal? The third is to then make a plan. So sometimes we say, oh, this is no good, but we never change or fix it because we don't have really a goal and we don't have a plan.
Right.
You need to have a plan as to what I'm going to do the next time my child says, I'm bored. Right. The next time my child says, I'm starving. The next time my child says, there's nothing to do in this house. There's nothing to eat in this house.
You need to have a script ready to go kind of in a way that you know.
Be aware. Right. Be aware. You know what? Another issue is, and it's not easy for parents today, we're juggling so much. Mm-hmm. We're juggling so much. So you're checking your phone and this child needs you to take them to this therapist and this child needs you, you know, to go to the orthodontist and there's this project and this one forgot that this is due tomorrow. So a child says something and okay, I'll just make this for you. I'll just give it to you.
Right, right. It's easier in a way.
Parents are juggling so much.
Yeah.
So you have to take a step back and know each child and say, for this year, what is my goal for each child?
Hmm. Wow.
And don't make it huge. Make it small. Make it small. Make it doable. Make it enjoyable. And celebrate when you see that this child is going in the right direction. Celebrate that. Our children hear so much negativity from us. So much criticism.
Right.
Or false praise. And none of that works.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so I love that idea of choosing one small goal for this is what I'm working on with this, with each child. It's like a new idea of Chanuch Lenar Alpidarko. Like I'm going to work on this goal for this year with this child. That's, wow, that's powerful.
It could be something that your child does his homework, starts doing his homework himself with a nice way without saying, it's impossible, I can't do it.
Right.
You know, I give up. Mommy, you have to do this. And then you sit down and you do it with them. Okay, what's my goal?
Right, right. Love that. What would you say, are there any things within this topic of parenting, of bringing out a child's potential, that parents wouldn't think to ask?
I think that, first of all, it's important to believe in your child. And often as children grow, that child who pushes your button the most is the one that you lose the most connection with.
Right.
And you start losing belief. I tell parents to ask themselves this question. When my child sees me first thing in the morning, or when I come home at night, or they come in and they walk through the door, what does my face say to this child?
Mm.
Sometimes a child just sees you're so exasperated, you're so frustrated, even dislike. A child reads that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see that, that pushes a child away.
Right.
Another thing I would ask is when a child says, Mommy or Daddy, can you read me a book? Can you help me? Can you, let's say, play ball with me? Often we'll do it, but first we're going to do. When you do that sigh or you just make that face and you'll do it afterwards, you just lost a moment of connection because it means I don't really want to do this, but I'll do it.
I'll do it because you're forcing you. I'm asking, but I don't really want to do this with you right now. Right.
If you would have done it because you're going to do it anyway.
Right. Once you're done, might as well just do it.
But do it with a smile and say, yeah. Oh, gosh, I'd love to play a game of ball with you. You know, I would love to, whatever it is, love to go bike riding with you.
Right.
Sure, Mommy would love to read a book with you tonight. You're creating a moment of love.
Yeah.
When you do that, that builds connection.
Mm. Love
so
that.
If you're going to do it and you're doing it anyway, do it right.
Right. Do it the best way you can.
Do it right.
Right.
Do it right. Body language tells a child so much. I mentioned this in my book. There was one day my kids were just running and all over, you know, one of those tough Sunday mornings. And I said, that's it. Everybody outside. Go outside. And my youngest then was 3. And he looked at me, he said, Mommy, are you angry? I said, no, I'm not angry. And he said, so why are your eyebrows angry?
Oh, wow.
So he read that. Our children read us.
Wow.
They read us.
Very sophisticated 3-year-old.
Yes. But they read our expressions.
Wow.
Give a child a smile.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see you. How often does a child walk through the door and then starts all over again,
yeah.
you know?
For the second you start off like that.
The whole night goes.
Yeah.
And there's
it's
always
like a
that one child.
Prophecy at that point.
Yes.
You know?
And there's always that one child that we're wary of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as soon as they start,
yeah,
you know.
And they know. See, they know that you're wary of it.
They know. So you know what they do? They test you.
Yeah.
100%. They test your love. So children, all children need attention. If you're not going to give me the positive attention, I'd rather negative attention than no attention.
Right.
So that child will create drama and you will give that child attention. So my question is, would you rather give the positive attention or attention in the principal's office?
Right. Mm. That's a great point. Any final message that you'd like to share?
I know that raising children today is very difficult. Social media, TikTok, children are discovering all types of avenues to leave home even though they are home. Anti-Semitism, apathy, lack of passion for Yiddishkeit. We have a lot of obstacles.
Yeah.
And it makes me sometimes a little bit, what should I say, sad.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad and concerned. It's not easy today. So the first thing I want to say is to parents today, be strong. Believe in yourself. Believe in whatever you feel is important for your child and your family. Be passionate about your parenting and love your children and believe in them and daven because we can't do it without Hashem helping us.
Amen.
So you have
Amen.
To daven. When you make challah, you would never believe that those little, little balls of challah are going to just rise and become this beautiful challah. That's the potential. But you have to make a bracha.
Mm.
You have to make a bracha.
Wow.
And then you cover the dough. And what does that mean? You don't have to post everything about your life online.
Mm.
Live in the moment with your child. Value and cherish your privacy as a family. And be there. The greatest thing I could say, greatest piece of advice, get off your phone.
Mm. So true. So true.
Family time means no screens. You should have sacred time with your children, with your husband, and with your wife.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So
Thank
many
you.
Incredible, really, really huge nuggets of wisdom and such a powerful idea. This whole idea of you know, bringing out the potential in a child, really being able to take their kochos and making them into givers. And it's, wow.
That's Am Yisrael.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
our
only, it's the only way that we're going to continue is if
Absolutely.
We all do this.
Absolutely.
So,
and
you
should be gebenched with Amen. All that you do.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Jews Next Door. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. I'd love to hear your takeaways. Reach out to us. Reach out to me at yair@genoff.org. hi@genoff.org. You can check us out on the website. You could leave a question there. We'd love to be in touch. Please be in touch. Check us out on Instagram @ParentingTheJewsNextDoor. Hit me up on Twitter @YairManshel. And we're on TikTok now too. We have some great content, a lot of really great insights into parenting, tips, parenting pointers, reaction videos, and quotes. We have a lot going on. We have a lot of articles. You want to check it out. Check it out at jenoff.org. You won't be sorry you did. And I look forward to hearing from you. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, make sure you subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Looking forward to another great episode next week.